from the Los Angeles Underground. Time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. What's it like?
It's like honey in your ear holes.
That's right.
Is it though?
Welcome.
Is it?
So what you guys missed was the entire...
I was still drinking my drink after it ended.
We have that voice you just heard. We have special guests. She already had an intro because we had an aborted start.
Aborted.
So it's okay. We start over. We start again. We begin. Life finds a way. We begin anew. DJ Sadness, welcome. You're filling in for John Sandy today.
Yep.
Those are some big shoes to fill.
Insert
literally.
Jokes about me, about the bar being set low.
Yeah.
I already did that. You
set the bar
high.
How
dare you?
You set the bar high. That was some A-list material you brought.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel like you can bring it again.
A-list material for a B-list podcast.
I only have one good moment, and then
the rest is
trash.
Yeah.
That's my whole life.
So, like, if you were a gunfighter in the Old West, you'd have one bullet, and if you missed, that's it?
You're like, yep. Well, I quit.
I'm just like, oh.
I've done what I can do.
I've done my best. It's time to go home and sleep.
I'll be at the bar if you need me.
That's it? You do an awful lot of sleeping. What do you attribute that to?
You.
Me? You just, you have weird hours.
I get it. Yeah. I fell asleep at 4.
And what time did you wake up?
Sorry, Mom. What?
She doesn't listen.
Oh, okay. Good.
She really listens to everything.
I don't see why she would.
You don't see why she would? Wow.
Yeah.
Hurtful.
My goal is to just be incredibly mean.
Okay, that's fine.
All we can hear in the background
so
is...
So everyone...
Everybody hurts.
It's a long walk home, and you don't know which way to go, so just remember that.
You know, Father, I have this magical thing. It's called a GPS.
Okay.
Global on my phone.
Positioning system.
I feel like that's a challenge.
We'll see you at home.
Okay, so this brings a very poignant story of when I was growing up, that my mother, we were driving home from my dad's house, and it's super dark late at night, and my mother was getting mad at us because my brother and I were goofing off in the back of the car, and she's like, I swear to God, if you keep acting up, I'll pull over. And I said, fine, pull over, I'll walk home. She pulls over, I get out of the car, and I started walking. She got pissed because I had no clue where I was going, but I was determined to get somewhere.
You're just determined to prove a point.
Yep.
You have no idea what you're doing.
Exactly.
Can we not tell these stories to my daughter?
That's a big mood.
Well,
all right.
It's true, though.
Here we go. Are you ready, though? You're here to help us review The Incredibles.
Maybe.
I got some congestion going on. So while you guys are reviewing The Incredibles, I'm going to go hock-a-loogie. Yeah. Everybody saw it, right?
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so Justine, we had started with you, and you said it was...
cute.
Yeah? Can you elaborate?
No, she didn't say it like that last time. She's like, it was cute.
It was cute.
Can you expand on that?
Oh, you know.
Yeah. I guess the movie falls somewhere mid-range for me as far as Pixar movies.
Uh-huh.
I can't give you a list.
What's your number one Pixar movie? Toy Story 2?
So gross.
What?
Toy Story 2 is great.
No, it's so boring. Toy Story 2 is so
Shut.
Boring.
Shut.
Let's not be rude.
Welcome to the love of my life, ladies and gentlemen.
We can tell her to shut up. You're not
your
supposed
mouth.
Watch me.
Women are supposed
know
to support
what my top
one
movie
another.
Is. It's kind of hard because, I mean, you see another one and then that's your top. And then this is, it just keeps changing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't say.
So Bug's Life.
Yet. No.
Cars 3.
Some beautiful butterfly.
Everyone's
you don't
favorite.
Like that part?
Cars 2.
I think she did have a thing for Cars 2.
Yeah. Did you like the third one where Mater was a secret agent?
That was 2.
Did you like the second one where Mater was an agent?
I just didn't see that.
Overseas.
I saw Cars 3 because it was on Netflix.
That was literally the worst Pixar movie I've
ever
seen. 2. I never saw 3. We have it on DVD.
Why do you have it on DVD?
I don't know.
It probably came free when you buy another movie.
You just found it one day on
your shelf. I don't remember buying it, but there's a copy of it in the hallway.
It just appeared.
It's just there.
It's just there.
It looks like Disney wants you to watch it.
We don't talk about it.
We don't talk about it. We walk by it.
We should burn it. First thing we do.
Is it like a Ouija board? Do you need to like bury it like 5 feet under?
You know, and
yes.
Burn? If you burn it, you'll release the evil spirits of Cars 2.
You know, like when you're walking out in the street and there's like a dead bird and you don't want to talk about it. You don't want to draw attention. Everybody knows it's there.
It's Jumanji. You'll play it, but you know it's gonna go bad.
And like you know, there's like in like 2 weeks, it's like ants crawling out of the eye socket, like that. You know, it's like that. You're like, oh yeah,
that's unsettling.
Just maggots.
Yeah, you just
everywhere.
Something about the way you said that was really unsettling.
I think it was the smile.
She did smile.
Sounded like a smile and like kind of excited about it.
She said it with a huge smile.
Delicious.
She's so dark.
She's post-mortem.
My favorite.
So Justine, was it? Did it hold up to the first Incredibles for you?
Yes. Yeah, I don't have much to say about this movie.
Really?
I mean, I liked it, but it also wasn't as memorable for me.
Whoa. Interesting.
Sorry, guys.
Invalid opinion.
First of all,
okay.
I'm so sorry, guys.
You don't get to have an opinion anymore.
But it was good. I mean, I think I liked it.
She lost it a long time ago.
Trust me.
Casablanca.
Trust me. You don't have to worry about what
I like.
I like how all of a sudden she's Dwight Schrute from The Office. Like she's like just yelling at people and like you're assistant to the regional manager. You're not assistant regional manager.
Not yet.
I like the Jack story. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was cool to see that part, but I think that was probably the most interesting thing to me otherwise.
Hmm.
I mean, the whole father-daughter thing was kind of cute, but I can see that hitting guys more than it would hit.
Isabella made the observation that I would do exactly what Bob Parr did and try to take
the restaurant.
Yeah. She's like, that's something you would do.
I would also spit water out of my nose.
That was that ridiculous.
I've actually never done that
in my whole life.
Well, because they made her face so goofy when it happened, too.
Like eyes popped out of her
and her nostrils were huge. Like, it all of a sudden wasn't normal.
Yeah, it's my favorite part. What are you talking about?
All right, Patrick, what did you think?
I am part of the generation that saw the original one in theaters and has been waiting 14 plus years for this to finally happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved every second of it. It was super enjoyable. It was a lot of fun. And it lived up to a lot of our hopes and dreams.
It looked great.
Yes.
And it was worth... I wasn't disappointed that I had to wait 14 years for it. I was like,
no, it was worth the wait.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys see that video in the beginning where they apologized for...
Mm-hmm. Sorry for the wait.
Yeah,
it was great. Like, they knew.
Somebody on Twitter said, I like how Disney took 14 years to make Incredibles 2, but gave us three Cars movie nobody asked for. Mm-hmm. Somebody on Twitter said that.
I like how they were like, all right, it's starting now, and then you go to the short, and that's the most confusing moments of your life.
What's it like knowing that when you try to leave the house, I'm going to eat you? How does that feel?
Joke's on you. I never leave the house.
Just shut in.
I'm never leaving.
We are building a room in the garage.
That's
my
plan.
We are building a room
in
the garage.
You're just giving me more reasons to stay inside.
That's
you
it.
Fool.
That's it.
I grow more powerful every day.
Fortnite, PUBG.
I never even played PUBG.
Fantastic.
About 2 hours before deleting it.
Is it weird that I was grossed out because I thought it was probably dirty?
What?
PUBG?
No, the little kid.
Oh, Bao.
When she ate him, I'm like, ew, he's dirty. Gross.
Yeah, he's got like weird facial hair.
No. Cease.
That's right. She did. Yeah.
She ate her child.
Yeah, he was like stinky teen.
Yeah, and he's been around.
I didn't realize it was a girl.
He played soccer.
Stinky teen dumpling.
Please don't phrase it like that. Please, no.
Stinky Teen Dumpling is going to be the name of my next fantasy football team.
Stinky Teen Dumpling.
What? Oh, that's a good band.
That's a good, punk rock band named Stinky Teen Dumpling.
Stinky Teen Dumpling.
Stinky Teen
Dumpling. Like Butthole Surfers, Stinky Teen Dumpling.
That shirt was weird. We'll get back to that. Mm-hmm. So Patrick, what highlights? What was your favorite thing about it?
Actually, that restaurant thing was probably one of my favorite scenes.
That scene made me laugh really hard.
It was super atypical of what any dad would do, and it was just hilarious to see it.
Ugh,
I would totally
so
do that.
So annoying watching it.
I would totally do that. Yeah, excuse me.
You would.
Jake,
yes.
What'd you think, brother?
I loved it. I thought it was super cute. It had like a nice nice role reversal from them, because Mr. Incredible is usually the one who is going making money, and now it's, you know, Elastigirl is going out.
Yeah.
So he is in foreign territory. He's like a dad, but he was not like the sole
He's not caregiver. The breadwinner, yeah.
He was not the sole caregiver of the house, and now it was him trying to like figure everything out and realizing, oh, hey, dealing with growing teenagers is not as easy as it sounds.
I related to all of the stages of the kids. I related to the baby. I related to the squirrely age that Dash is kind of in, and I related to, and I really relate to
raccoon outside.
You did
with
some
lasers.
You really did
out
some,
of my eye holes.
I'll tell you what, though, that is a perfect.
Is that what you're hiding from me?
No, but I will tell you that's a perfect representation of what a baby's like, because you just don't know what they're going to do at any given time, or what they're capable of, and all of a sudden, poop is coming out of them, or barf, or something, and you're just—it's like that. It might as well be laser eyes. When you were a baby like that, it was, you were just, you never knew what to expect from day to day.
I had laser eyes and Dad is hiding it from me.
You
did. Case closed.
We got, your eyes were originally green and we had to have them, we had to go get them painted over.
Had to go and stab them and replace them.
What is
new
with
ones?
You? You are being incredibly dark. They're going to think you're some kind of weird emo kid.
That's my sense of humor. Also, I laugh at the stupidest things.
That is true. We did watch The Pink Panther Strikes Again the other day, and we laughed. You and I were laughing like idiots. And the whole time I was just thinking, your mom would not even think this is funny.
That's because I'm not going to go there.
But yes.
Go ahead, Jake. I'm sorry we interrupted you.
Fantastic. Really good. Jack-Jack was adorable and loved all the scenes of Jack-Jack and how, what's the word? How easy or how quick he is to mimic like things around him.
Yes, yes.
Which is super true for kids and that when he was with Edna.
And he just all of a sudden became her.
It was so cute.
I love that she's all of a sudden she's like, I love him.
Yeah, and I thought the villain was great. I thought it was a nice little twist.
It was a great idea. It was the idea of you know,
that villain was predictable.
A lot of social but a lot of social commentary. It was nice.
Justine and I called that right away.
That it was the sister? You knew.
Why you gotta say that out loud? People haven't seen it yet.
Heck.
It's spoiler. 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
I mean,
it's 2 weeks.
I feel like this could have been either a short, though, or even a show.
No. Stop it.
I don't know. It didn't feel like a movie.
But it did, though, because it was.
But, yes, I mean, you would have been happy with just a Jack-Jack movie.
There was a Jack-Jack
short.
It was
nice to know what happened to him, because that was probably the biggest thing at the end of Incredibles.
Right, you knew
like,
what his powers were.
Wasn't there a short, like, the... Yeah, but... Like, there was a mini... thing.
That was with the babysitter.
Yeah.
Though.
Uh-huh. That was my favorite thing. I watched that so many times.
Yeah, I kept trying to remember because only the babysitter saw the powers, and
exactly,
then,
like the parents didn't know, no one else knew.
And then
she didn't tell them.
Well, they remember he doesn't kill, but Syndrome knows, but he dies.
Yeah. He's responsible for the death of Syndrome.
Yeah, that is true.
Jack-Jack's a murderer.
He's going to be the next villain.
Body count.
He's like Maggie.
And before you're even like 5 years old.
He's he has a body.
Yeah, but he can't kill a raccoon.
That raccoon. Have you ever tried to get a raccoon? They're pretty
raccoons
tough.
Raccoons are squirrely.
No pun intended.
Damn it!
Haven't you seen
First
Rocket?
First of all,
what about you, Isabella? What did you think?
First thing I do is slap the table.
Yes.
It was good. I liked it. Edna Mode is the best character, and I will fight anyone. I will fight anyone on this. I mean, I won't win, but it's the thought that counts.
So Edna's your favorite.
Yeah. It was good. I didn't want, like, I thought all the scenes were enjoyable.
Did you relate to the teenage storyline? Because you're not quite there yet. But you.
So I was like, no.
But did you relate to the angst that she was feeling?
Not particularly.
Oh, God. You mean this gets worse?
Give it a couple years.
That's a big move. Trust me. I'm thinking the same thing.
I'm worried.
The teen angst will probably come later in life.
Yeah.
She'll be like early, early 20s.
Yeah.
Just everything's just shit's going to hit the fan.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
In my own apartment, just like, leave me alone.
Scale of 1 to 10. Oh, you are leaving the house. Good.
Get out of here.
Scale of 1 to 10. What did you
here,
give
let
it?
Me pack
what did you give
bags.
It, DJ Sadness?
What?
What did you give this one on a scale of 1 to 10?
I keep hitting the table. 9.
What's your favorite Pixar movie for comparison? Up? Coco.
Coco?
Probably Coco.
Coco is good. Coco is good. I could watch Coco.
Mm-hmm. I do love some Coco.
Did you like this better than Coco?
No.
Okay.
Nothing will beat Coco for the rest of time.
That's it's right. hard to pick like your favorite Pixar movie because you really have to consider what kind of tears you want to shed.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one, it's a completely different emotional spectrum. This one, not really emotional. Like, there was no moment where it's like the typical Pixar moment where, like, you're just crying. And that was the same thing in
the
first
Incredibles,
one.
Yeah.
There's no, like, real emotional.
In a Pixar movie until Coco.
Yeah.
What about Up?
I didn't cry in that.
But yeah, you're right.
Toy Story 3.
Yeah, Toy Story 3.
Good Dinosaur.
Did I cry in Toy Story 3?
Probably.
I don't think I did.
I would have remembered it.
We have to watch it again.
I cried in Coco.
You haven't watched
Everyone
Toy
cried
Story
Coco.
3 in a long time.
Yes.
I bet you if you watch it now, you would cry. If you watch 1, 2,
I'm
and 3.
Because I'm an emotional wreck now.
Make her watch, like, lead up to it.
Yeah. We're going to watch 1, 2, and 3.
1 to 3.
Yeah. 1, 2,
then you'll,
the best one,
then you'll
and
bawl,
3.
Then you'll bawl your eyes out on 3.
Bring Mom for 2 and she'll cry.
Oh,
we'll all cry.
Your uncle cried.
Let's all have a big emotional fest, which is...
Your uncle, your emotionless uncle cried, so it, you know.
Nemo was sad.
I didn't. Yeah. Just
like, Nemo was that quick death of the mother in the beginning.
Yeah.
It was like,
hey, guess
what?
What
did they
Bye.
Just do?
Yeah.
And it was so fast.
Oh, hey, he's got a mom. Oh, no, he doesn't.
That's
he's
got a mom. Just kidding.
That's and
got
then it was
eaten.
Sad, and I'm like, these kids in this theater just felt so bad the first time
it's
I
like
saw
like when
that
they
one.
Killed Spider-Man in Infinity War.
No, cease.
And then they
we
make...
don't talk about that in this house.
She cried, too. She cried at that,
Shut
too.
Up.
It's okay. We don't judge you.
It oh, was guess really what? Sad. Justine laughed when Spider-Man died.
Go.
When Spider-Man died?
Cease.
It was a...
Get.
It was a little too much.
Out.
I was like, he used to calm down.
Get. What?
His spider like a, senses told him
to
he
die.
Was going to die.
You're just
I mean,
about to die and you're like...
Else died.
You know what?
That doesn't mean he was going to die necessarily, but he felt it. His spider senses told him, oh, shit, it's not going to be okay. And it wasn't okay. Okay,
like
so that's why it took
like,
him a longer.
Why could he know that it was going on? And he's like, it's spider senses.
Spider
you
sense.
Fools.
Yeah, waved at that
You
kid.
Uncultured
he was,
swine.
He was getting all tingly, and he's like, oh no, this is bad.
Don't phrase it like that. Don't say it like that.
He was getting the spider tingles.
No.
That's
Stop.
Even worse. Spider tingles, that's another
even
name for
worse.
A band.
I got spider tingles.
Spider tingles. Spider tingles and
really
what was it? Dirty Teen Dumpling?
Yeah.
That's a good double bill.
Mm-hmm. Stinky
Don't
Teenage
stop.
Dumpling. And spider tingles.
Spider tingles.
Who's the opener?
Stop the
Who
sadness.
Headlines? Who headlines that? I feel like
you.
I feel like
Butthole Surfers.
But I feel like Dirty Teen Dumpling, or what was it, Stinky Teen?
Dirty Teen Dumpling sounds good, too, though.
I feel like that's your opener, because they're really trying to go over that name.
Mm-hmm.
Spider Tingles, that's, I mean, they're established.
That's a headliner.
They've been around. That's a headliner.
They've obviously been touring for years, yeah.
They've obviously been around. I love this one. It was, for me, it was worth the wait. I liked I liked The Incredibles because both movies kind of take their time in telling your story. And they let it unfold like a domestic drama.
Yeah.
So you see what's going on in her, you know, life, and then you go cut back to all these scenes of, you know, Bob trying to raise the kids and do everything.
It was cool we got to see her as the breadwinner. That was
yeah.
really nice.
I love that there was more Frozone.
Oh, so good.
Yes.
I love Frozone.
I love that you got to explore the world, what their world looks like a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
See the kind of, you know, where they live. And my favorite thing about this movie, though, was the score.
Mm-hmm.
The score was awesome.
Elastic Girl.
Michael Giacchino, I think is what it
Marciano.
Is.
Marciano.
Giacchino.
Martinelli.
He does
He's
a,
the same one who did Ratatouille.
He did
and Up.
And he did like the new Star Trek. He did Coco. He's done a lot of Pixar. And he did Rogue One. He did Rogue One as well. But he is really good. In Rogue One, he was really good at kind of mimicking that John Williams style.
Yeah.
And this one, I don't know if you guys noticed it in From Russia with Love, but his you'll notice it a lot in Goldfinger. His scores for the Incredibles kind of mirror that.
Barry. Oh, yeah, I absolutely got that feeling.
It's and like, kind totally of like Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
A little, yeah. Because you know what? I figured, I was like, what does this have to do with this kind of movie? Because this is more like a spy kind of a theme. Mm-hmm. But it really struck me that it was Brad Bird and everybody that made this movie. They would have been influenced by 60s Batman. There weren't superhero movies on the big screen yet. So this is more like
a
superheroes they would have seen on TV with that kind of...
I think I like the first one better still.
Okay.
Because you see them have to transition, and they had to be normal humans, and they're upset, and you see like their day-to-day life, and it blows up. But I think I still like the first one better than the second one.
It's okay. We can still be friends.
Right. Yeah, it's fine.
I'm just saying it.
I go back and forth which one I like more.
I like them both.
I think them both for different reasons.
I think they're great.
It was nice to see Jack-Jack, but that could have been a short for me, and I would have been okay with that.
I completely zoned out. What are we talking about?
It's okay. I zone her out too.
She's Isabel's officially part of the team now. She zoned out just in time.
If we have spoiled something for you, I'm sorry, but if you watch it, there's no real end credits sequence.
There's not.
But it's worth saying, A, to see the name of our friend Sanjay Patel on the storyboard in the storyboard section. Right when the credits get going, right when they start scrolling, and then, but it's also worth it because that score at the end, it's great. It kind of interpolates all the songs we've heard during the score. But I wanted to play this little thing for you. This is from when they were touring the house. It's a Michael Giacchino.
Not even like a sorry from them, how much they destroyed that house.
I know, right?
Here goes the sofas.
Right? So this is called Digging the New Dig. So this is when they're wandering around the house and Dash is kind of playing with the remotes and all that stuff.
Typical child.
But I love it because it's just a really cool score. But then I want to compare it to something else that it reminded me of. So here we go. Maybe. I like that. Very, very 60s.
In summer. Spicy.
So this reminded me of a really, we are not there yet. You guys may have skipped ahead to Goldfinger. No. Have you guys watched Goldfinger?
I've seen it.
I've never seen it.
At the very beginning of Goldfinger, after they do the credits, they open with a shot of, it's a tracking shot of Miami Beach, circa, 1965.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the little track they play. And it totally reminds me in spirit of that track we just heard. This is by John Barry. This is an advertisement for something awful that I want to talk over. All right, here we go. Felt like that was exactly what they were.
Oh yeah,
what he was going for.
Oh yeah,
so God,
absolutely.
I love the whole score. It made the movie more evocative of that era because you don't really know when the. It looks like it's the 60s, but they kind of have modern technology because they're superheroes, I guess. But I love that movie. I loved it. I'm gonna go see it again.
Yeah, take me with you.
You want to go?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what other movie I want to see again?
What's that?
Jurassic World 2 Fallen Kingdom.
Oh, you have, none of us have seen it.
No.
Somebody shoot him.
I heard it sucks.
You heard wrong.
Who did you hear that from?
Mom.
Yeah.
She's just like, hey, here's all the reasons why it was terrible. Sorry, Mom.
Tell us why you liked it, Jake.
Dang, Jake.
I did not want to see the preview made me not want to see it.
I don't have an opinion.
Yeah,
I don't know why I didn't say that.
We're malleable. Yeah,
I just always loved the Jurassic Park movies, so me wanting to see another one is probably just because I wanted to see more dinosaurs on the big screen.
Do the dinosaurs talk?
Yes.
They do
in their own way. What does their voice sound like, though? Hey guys.
Hey guys. It's me, Blue, here. Just wanted to, you know.
Welcome back to another YouTube video.
Hey guys, it's your boy Blue.
It's your boy T Rex.
Coming back with another.
Side note: Why does all these YouTubers want to say, "Hey guys, how's it going? It's your boy." They always say that. I'm like, just stop. Just
it's
please.
Your boy.
It's your boy. Hey guys, it's me.
Because everyone's attention span is about 5 seconds long, so you know.
I'm sorry. What?
What? What were we talking about?
By the way, quick side note. Uh-huh. Our friend Ephraim, who does a spot-on impersonation of all those YouTube guys whenever we play online. It's awesome. Did you see the video he put of his cousin playing rugby?
No. Mm-mm.
His cousin Mike that goes to game night with us?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my, look on his Facebook
page. Was he a monster?
Oh, my gosh, dude. It's amazing. I'm never going to mess with that guy again. I was whatever he wants, whatever game he wants
were
to play.
Were you planning to?
No, he is. But I'm not going to anymore.
Even if you wanted to now.
Anymore.
Too late for that.
Yeah, check it out. Okay, so sorry. Go ahead with your review.
But yeah, you know what? I just like it's they're going more towards the conservation route. Say, like, oh no, these are actually living beings. And it sort of brought that whole, I don't know the exact word to describe it, but it brought whole that whole back and forth between, oh, these are God, these are man-made creations. We need to get, you know, get money for them. Or, the, you know, these are still living creatures. We have to protect them. And it kind of dove more into, like, the whole genetic modification thing with the
morality
with the Indoraptor and the morality of it. And I liked it. They added more dinosaurs, too, which I really like. I always like to see different kinds of dinosaurs. They did I can't remember the name of them right now, but yeah. Sinoceratops. Ceratosaurus. Allosaurus. A bunch of cool dinosaurs we haven't seen before.
He's a dinosaur nerd.
Does the T-Rex live?
T-Rex? Rexy? They show Rexy in the trailers.
I know.
Are you making up names?
That's seriously
that
the
name. Like
that's
you're naming like,
is it really?
That's the canon name for that T-Rex is Rexy.
Oh boy.
Is that true?
As far as I know.
God, I feel like it's like a TV, like a cartoon.
Rexy. Yeah,
look at
that's
these Care Bears
that's what people. That's what people refer to her Rexy. As, Rexy.
Or you can just call it a T-Rex and be done with it.
But it's the T-Rex from the original
like
Jurassic
normal
Park.
Person.
Sexy Rexy.
Sexy Whoa. Rexy.
Don't phrase it like that.
Mm-hmm. Sexy Rexy. Mm-hmm. That's right. In all her glory.
Sexy Rexy.
Legs for days.
Yeah, I just imagine she puts one like
Never
leg out.
Leg day.
Legs the door. For days, but don't ask her for a hug.
Is that the one that goes to the
skip
bed?
Leg day.
Hmm.
Is that the one that scares the girl in the bed?
Oh, yeah. What scares the girl in the bed?
That's the Indoraptor.
Ooh. What's his name?
And, you're just playing Pokemon Go right now?
Yeah.
What's
there's
his name?
Thank you, Isabella.
There was a
I need another
set
of eyes out there.
There's a Machop down the street.
I need everyone to know.
Did you say Machaca down the street?
Machaca.
Machaca sounds good, though.
Mm-hmm,
that's what I'm going to name my next one.
What, Machaca?
Yeah.
A dog, Machaca.
I
get to name the next dog.
Machaca?
You've been naming the dogs for far too long.
Well, we adopted Ricky with that name.
Maybe so.
And we named him Chewbacca. What would you have named Chewbacca?
I have no idea.
Exactly. See, I always have a name ready.
Maybe if I got a chance to.
Maybe.
Father.
You know when you'll have a chance? When you have your own apartment.
Ooh.
You have a dog.
Roasted.
I'm just going to leech off of you.
That's fine.
Till the end of time.
Not fine.
At least she's
not fine anymore.
At least she's
until you die. Yeah. I have my future planned out. I'm going to leech off my parents.
Wow.
Same with the half of the population.
Been doing it since she was born.
There you go.
Yep.
Why stop now?
There's a court case that was recently settled in New York you need to look into. Just so you know. All right.
Sounds boring.
It is.
Yes. Did they evict that guy?
Yeah, I think the parents finally evicted him. So listen, DJ
like
Sadness,
World.
Thank you for your insight. Mm-hmm. Before we say goodbye to you, we're going to give we're going to get a letter
your
grade.
Your mom's going to yell at you for that.
Yeah, she is.
A letter grade?
We're going to get a letter grade for Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom.
If you liked the last movie, Jurassic World, you're probably going to like this one.
Mm-hmm.
I give it like an 8.5.
How many people die?
Did mom like the
so
last
many.
One?
We liked it.
Okay.
So many.
Do the surfers get eaten?
So many.
So many surfers.
I heard not many.
Some not
Didn't
many.
Didn't you
surfers.
Ask that question to mom?
I want to know because that's the big. That's,
it's important.
That's the big scene in the trailer.
No.
I must know.
You'll. You gotta.
You must know the. If fate you want to know, go see people.
It. Go see it.
Maybe. I do. I am a sucker for dinosaur movies.
If you're a sucker for dinosaurs, you're gonna like it. You might not love it, but you'll still enjoy it because there's a bunch of dinosaurs.
I was looking at the digital movie collection, and I really feel bad for you guys at the amount of Godzilla movies that are coming out.
Oh Jesus!
I mean, we're progressing out of the war movies finally.
Yeah. No, there's plenty more war movies coming.
No.
There's no, you jinxed it.
I did.
You fool!
I did watch Full Metal Jacket for the first time.
That's in our. That would have. That's gonna come up.
Too many war movies.
Great.
It's great. And today is the actual anniversary of its release in theaters in 1987.
I was very shocked at that first part of the, I like first, to think of it as a part. Like,
the first 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That shock, I was like, wait, he is kind of crazy.
We'll get to it. And it's Vincent, very young Vincent D'Onofrio. So you know him now from one of the Law & Order shows.
SVU?
You know him, and he was... Kingpin in Daredevil. It's Kingpin in Daredevil. So.
He's in there?
He's what's his name?
Kingpin?
No.
Wilson
he's
Fish?
He's Corporal. You know what I'm talking about. I don't want to give away.
He's Corporal.
He's Corporal.
He's not Private Joker. He's, what's his name?
Oh, Joker. Man, that movie... And then we had to go watch all the other movies. I'm like, wow, I'm watching a lot of war movies right now.
You're comparing them?
Yeah, I am. I'm like, I don't know about that. But this one, that was a great
Did
movie.
This one give me a heart attack?
Yeah. And that one will.
I will say, because I didn't know what a Full Metal Jacket was the whole time.
It's a jacket made of
And then metal. When they said it, I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. But yeah. I didn't know what a Full Metal Jacket was.
You didn't
was
know what a
now.
Full Metal Jacket was?
No, and then when you look at the poster, it's just a helmet, and I have no idea what that was my whole life.
Why is there no band called Full Metal Jacket, now that I'm thinking about it?
There probably is. You just haven't been looking.
Maybe.
That's Google also it. The name of a Full Metal Jacket Google for like it. A round. For like
no,
a,
you better not. Who knows what who knows what
that's
rabbit
what
hole that's going to
yeah.
He you. Said he has a Full Metal Jacket, and
you
I was like,
you can't stop me.
That's what that is. I just had no idea.
You can't 7.62
millimeter.
It's pretty scary.
It's a good. That was a good movie, though. I really enjoyed that.
My friend's dad was actually in the Battle of Hue, which was the city that they were in.
No Hue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hue.
Yeah. H-U-E.
No.
Not the same thing. Hue.
Hue.
But yeah. Nuts.
Oh, he's French.
That was crazy.
Yeah, that was a really good movie.
But then, yeah, today was the 30th. I just saw a blurb that it was the 30th, you know what I mean? 30th anniversary.
Yeah,
that's math.
30th anniversary.
I crashed my phone. Hold on.
Oh, nice work. Well, while you're looking that up, I've given you some busy work to do to keep you silent for the next
hour.
Oh, really? Just me meddling with my phone.
Mm-hmm. Just like at home.
Shh, yep.
We're going to eat beef jerky on the air.
Am I sensing some tension over here on the side?
But before we do, it's time for the Digital Movie Club. It's time for the Digital Movie Club. Digital Movie Club. Digital Movie Club. We like to watch our movies. Digital Movie Club. We like to watch our movies digitally. 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 How was that?
It exists.
That was beautiful.
It's a band.
There is a band? What kind of band is it? Is it a punk band?
Heavy metal.
I don't know. It's a heavy metal / hard rock band.
Nice.
According to this random Facebook page.
Okay.
That I haven't even clicked on.
Don't do it.
I'm not going to.
Hardcore.
That's rabbit hole.
Right, there is a band named Full Metal Jacket. There we go. Is there a band called Dirty Teen Dumplings?
Yeah, can you look up Stinky Teen Dumplings. Stinky
you have your phone out. I put mine away.
You know what? Let me look. Stinky Teen Dumplings.
I also don't want
that. I also feel like history. You shouldn't look that up, but okay.
What?
Moving on. Like, I don't want that in my search history.
I'll do it for you, don't worry.
All right.
No shame.
Take the hit. Mm-hmm.
Ready?
These are fully grown dumplings. These aren't teen dumplings.
All right. So we got three movies that we watched. We watched the fantastic James Bond film from Russia with Love. We watched the documentary like Longest Day and the low budget, but nonetheless... I find it very... I love the ending. The whole reason I like Hell is for Heroes is because of the ending.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you liked it because of Bob Newhart.
And Bob Newhart's in it. It's so weird.
It's so weird when he shows up and you're just like, wait, it's perfect. I love it. Don't go anywhere.
Why don't we start with this? Because the whole time I was watching this movie, I stumbled across the movie on cable one day. It's called Hell is for Heroes. It is from, let me give you the official.
You okay over there?
Remember, courtesy yep. flushes.
1962, Hell is for Heroes, starring Steve McQueen, Harry Gardino, Fess Parker, as you said, Bob Newhart, James Coburn, Bobby Darin. Did you guys recognize Bobby Darin?
Mm-hmm.
You know who Bobby Darin is?
Hmm?
Have you ever heard the song Somewhere Beyond the Sea? That's Bobby Darin. And he was the guy who was the scrounger. He got everything. He had everything in the bag, and he was like, "Hey, you need."
Oh, I liked him.
Yeah, yeah. And then you had Bob Newhart.
Yeah, I did like him.
This movie reminded me a lot of a TV show called Combat, which was on in the '60s, and I saw a lot of reruns because my brother loved it. And I found out the guy who wrote this screenplay also wrote another movie called Battleground, which he won an Oscar for back in 1949. That was about the Battle of the Bulge. And then he wrote this one.
Battle of the Bulge.
Really, guys, it's really called that.
It really is called that.
Children.
There's a movie you guys...
Oh, my God.
There's a movie you guys don't have to watch called The Battle of the Bulge.
I am so sorry.
Don't worry.
To our audience, is that in
digital? Do you have that in your digital movie
club? I don't.
Oh, Battle of the Bulge? I'm completely zoned out. It's
Battle of the Bulge.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Battle of the Bulge.
Mm-hmm.
You
please don't raise it like that.
That's the actual name
of
the battle.
Do you want to know how I got that name?
I want Home Video Hustle to review that movie.
Review Battle of the Bulge.
And that's actually full of a lot of people that have already been in some of the movies that we've watched. But it was called The Battle of the Bulge because the Allies were advancing.
Shut up, both of you.
I keep hearing it as The Battle of the Bull, and I'm like...
Bulge.
After D-Day, when the Allies were advancing and they were pushing the Germans into Germany,
mm-hmm.
the Germans counterattacked mm-hmm. and formed a...
Bulge
in the line, in the Allied line. And that's where... The Battle of Bastogne took place.
I'm sorry, I'm 8.
So yeah, they forced their way into mm-hmm. Allied territory.
That's it.
I can't.
Or into enemy territory.
I can't. I'm a child. Mm-hmm. I can't.
Mm.
That's it.
Indeed.
I can't. I can't.
Says the child.
I can't do it.
Wink, wonk.
Out of the
like when the
mouth.
Teacher goes, turn to page 69.
Can't.
Why do you think that's funny?
Yeah, explain
oh,
that joke.
You know.
Explain that joke.
I would also have to explain why every time I see that number, I tell somebody up top. So I don't want to explain that to my dog. You know.
Don't
what
worry.
I mean?
Don't worry. I already know.
Why?
Then explain.
Because of the moon landing, 1969.
Yep. Yes.
Is that what? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's keep it that way.
Let's use these pop figures to do what it is.
Let us demonstrate.
Oh man.
Please no.
Well, that's cool for Hell for Heroes.
Yeah, there you go. Hell is for Heroes.
Moving
so
on.
So that was not... Anyway, the same screenwriter sold... He actually created the show Combat, and that's what this movie reminded me of. Combat was like about this little unit in Europe in World War II. They would get into different battles every week, and somehow none of them ever got killed, but it reminded me of this movie because it was like a small group of guys... We kind of follow the adventures. And it kind of looks like a TV movie.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't have a big budget. And Paramount actually made them stop filming. They would not give them any more film to use,
mm-hmm.
which is why the ending was so abrupt. But I feel like that ending makes the movie kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what did you guys think of this movie? Let's start with Jake.
It's good.
Oh, make fun of me.
No, I liked it. All the characters are really likable and interesting. I thought Reese, Steve McQueen's character, was really, really awesome to mm-hmm. kind of dive into a little bit. You don't really get the full reason of why he was the way he is, but you kind of get a glimpse of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really good.
I thought it was a very modern take on some of the characters that you would not... In a lot of ways, it's a very stereotypical war movie, especially World War II.
Mm-hmm.
But in a lot of other ways, you know, you're dealing with guys who are, there's more, I think Steve McQueen's character kind of shows like the trauma that you didn't really see a lot of in those movies, where it shows you like the trauma of having survived that long.
Oh, I feel like they also dive more into the characters, so you like feel like you're actually getting to know these soldiers.
So when they die, you actually feel like...
As opposed to some of the other ones that we've seen are not... You don't quite get to know some of the characters.
And then a couple of them actually have pretty horrific deaths.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And there's not a lot of blood in this movie, but...
No, but getting blown up by mortar fire is pretty gruesome.
Or the or the guy who
trips
a landmine.
Yeah, trips the landmine and then burn. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. And that scene where they're like trying to crawl across.
Oh, that was stressful.
Yeah. Justine, what did you think?
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
It was good.
Mm-hmm.
That part, the landmine part, that got me pretty. I mean, it was all interesting. I really liked it.
It got her pretty.
I don't know why I thought it was such a short movie.
It was. It's only like 90 minutes long.
It was really quick.
I loved it.
I guess I'm not used to that. We're going to get out of our movies that are long.
Out of our six-hour movies.
We're like, we're half. We have 1 foot in each of the camps. So we're going to get some movies that are long and some that are...
Well, I liked it. It didn't seem like a big budget movie.
No.
I'm kind of in this thing where I'm seeing so many war movies that they're just...
They all kind of run together.
Some of them are also not as great as other ones now. That
you didn't really notice the budget that much, though. It didn't really feel like it was a low-budget movie.
You could just tell they didn't have a lot of money to like cast a lot of people, so you don't really see the Germans, or the Germans are like stock footage Germans.
Yeah.
You know? But they did some interesting things with that budget where, like, I love the idea of them trying to pretend that they're more people than they really are.
It was a really cool concept.
And in contrast to Longest Day, which seemed like it had a huge budget.
So this movie felt more intimate for me watching it compared to all the other ones we watched.
Yeah, yeah. You do get to know everybody.
I will say something about The Longest Day, though. That was the top, most expensive black and white film. Until another movie came out and knocked it out.
And you can tell.
Do you want to know what it was?
What was it?
Schindler's List.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say.
Otherwise, that was the highest grossing.
That movie was a huge hit back in...
It was $10 million to make that one.
Back in the day. And that saved Fox because they kind of pumped so much money into Cleopatra that bombed.
Yep.
That they needed that movie to... We'll get to it in a minute. But Patrick, what did you think of...
I had a lot of fun with this movie. I liked the kind of the archetypes you get with the different characters and that it's more realistic as far as they truly represented just like random people from who they were throughout the world. So it was more just like this felt a little bit more realistic, you know, and then like Steve McQueen's character, he was just a bloodthirsty person and he was very focused on that, you know.
I don't know if he was bloodthirsty so much more than he would do what was necessary.
Yeah, but he seemed like he was willing to do whatever it takes and that he didn't really care about anybody else, and I think that was the bigger issue.
Well, the thing with him was like he was willing to do whatever it takes, but I don't think he realized what the repercussions of his actions.
Exactly, yeah.
He didn't... He never cared or never like saw the repercussions of what he did.
He didn't care.
Yeah.
I think it was more that he didn't care. Like, but he figured we're all going to get it eventually, and so...
Yeah.
Until that point in the movie where one of the guys gets...
Well, the flamethrower scene.
Destroyed by the landmine, and then also by the flamethrower.
Yeah, and then the guy gets shot in the stomach...
Oh, when that guy's that's a really...
And got shot in the stomach, and I think that
it was very poetic that Steve McQueen dies by getting shot in the stomach.
That's a crazy scene too, where he's
he gets popped, and then he picks up the satchel mine, just and walks like, himself walks, in
The satchel charge.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
But my favorite part of this movie has to be Bob Newhart. That was just such a surprise, and it's literally Bob Newhart being Bob Newhart, and it's wonderful.
he's such a charming guy.
It was such a light touch that it just like...
You kind of needed it.
Yeah, it was so good.
You kind of needed
it. So him doing the phone call with the Germans listening in was just hilarious. I loved it. It was
I think that's quote... He actually quoted his own act, his actual act that he would do, like, in the nightclub, like he was doing one of his bits, and they just put... they're like, yeah, film it, just go, and we'll put it in there, and they did, and I think it works. It's kind of weird to see him at first. You're like, why is he here? But it makes sense, you know. He's this... what was he, a typist?
Yeah, he was a typist.
And he got lost,
and he's going to get typewriters of all things.
That's right.
He's just like, I gotta get these. I'm gonna get in trouble. No, you can't take my Jeep. You can't take my Jeep.
It almost sounds like he was trying to like escape. Like, I'm a type. I'm getting typewriters.
What's sad, though, is at the end, he has to, like, assault that bunker, too. And it's like, you guys are taking the typist?
Yeah,
like, he's never been in combat before.
You're going to survive.
He almost killed Stephen Queen. He almost killed Reese.
Oh, yeah, the shot where he's, like, accidentally shoots next to him. So Steve McQueen reloads and lifts up the latch on his gun so he can start firing. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to kill you.
That's good. I did like the your code and countersign.
Oh, Apple.
Yeah.
Cobbler.
And then the German says pie. He gets a grenade. That's pretty cool. That's a good. Smart. I do like this movie a lot. Again, it wasn't one that I grew up with. I just happened to discover it on cable one day.
It was a lot of fun.
And the ending, I just saw like the last 20 minutes and I was like, I've never seen a movie where Steve McQueen dies. Like you know what I mean?
Oh, he really
does. Can we just say also how majestic he is when he runs? He like runs and dives. He like keeps his feet super straight and like slides in.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about running till we get to the longest
day. It's great.
Oh, we're going to talk about... Oh, there's a lot of running in the longest
day. No, there is the greatest running scene of all time.
All right, we're going to talk about that. So do you want to... Let's skip to the longest day. So we'll stay in the black and white mode.
We don't want
to
rate this real quick?
Yeah, let's give Hell is for Heroes a quick rating.
8 out of 10. Done.
What
I liked
give it.
Give
it just seen.
5.
I thought it was great.
It's a 3. I do like that scene though when he's talking. That really made the movie for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the turning point of the character.
She's analyzing it.
Go ahead, Patrick.
Assessing,
no, I want you
processing.
To go first.
Beep bop boop
beep
boop, beep bork beep, bop beep,
morp
meep. Morp beep.
I give it a 6.
Oh.
I probably won't watch it again.
So it was good as Casablanca.
Well, that's...
I said the same thing.
We compare,
I wouldn't watch Casablanca
again. We compare everything
again.
You say now to Casablanca.
It got... This gets 7 out of 10 on IMDb.
I think 83% that's kind of
on Rotten Tomatoes.
I think it's kind of underrated.
I would also give this an 8. I just... The characters were really interesting. It was more of a character piece than anything else.
Yeah.
And you could tell it was low budget, but that didn't bother me.
Don Siegel goes on to make... the director of this movie goes on to make, like, Dirty Harry... And a bunch of other really kind of like movies with anti-heroes, kind of like Steve McQueen here. But yeah, he was an interesting director too, because he was kind of a tough guy in real life. So yeah, I liked it. I liked this one. I would probably give this probably a 7, solid 7. Is that everybody?
Yeah.
Okay.
Isabel, what do you give this movie?
Yeah. What did you rate it, Isabel?
10 out of 10.
There we go.
Dang. She's never even seen it.
Dang.
That's
she should be
the
taking,
joke.
She should be taking Father. Part in this digital movie club. She doesn't have to review him, but she should at least watch him.
Yeah, this is the one I'm going to make you watch. I'm going to make you watch a 3-hour movie that's half in German. Although you did
sounds great.
You did watch a good chunk of Seven Samurai. I remember that.
Come on, this is culture.
Culture?
Should I get some culture?
No, you're fine. All right, The Longest Day, 1962.
Yes, it was.
2 hours and 58 minutes.
Let's rate it.
7.8 on IMDb, 91%. Directed by Ken Anakin, Dale F. Zanuck, Andrew Martin, Bernard Wicki, Gerd Oswald. From the book by Cornelius Ryan. The book is really great. I've read the book. A cast. I'm going to read some of the cast. But
yeah, you got enough time
big
to
cast.
Read all of them?
Big cast.
There was a ridiculous amount.
John Wayne, Henry Fonda, Sean Connery, Richard Burton. Robert Mitchum, Paul Anka, our friend Robert Ryan, the old villain from Bad Day at Black Rock, is back. Eddie Albert, Rod Steiger, Peter Lawford, Goldfinger was in it. Did you guys notice Goldfinger? You'll see Goldfinger again. Jeffrey Hunter, did you see your old buddy Jeffrey Hunter?
Yeah, I think she did.
Did you see him? Your old buddy from The Searchers?
She was fawning over somebody.
No, I was saying that I didn't know that the guy from West Side Story was in this. It shocked me so much.
Oh, Sal Mineo, yeah.
I was like, Patrick, he's going to start singing. It just never happened.
Well, Paul Anka was a singer, and he was in it, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sal Mineo was one of the guys with the Rangers, right?
Yeah.
When they were going up the ropes. He was one of those guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Sure.
All right. So this is basically... If you've ever seen Saving Private Ryan or Band of Brothers, this basically is an expanded story about that one particular day. But it gives it from both sides and all the countries that were involved. So you get the French perspective, the British perspective, the American perspective, and of course,
Canadian.
Irish.
Canadian are in there. There's some Irishmen in there.
Scots, yeah.
Yeah.
So my favorite thing about this movie was at the end of the movie, Justine goes, wait, it's over? What about tomorrow? What's the next day? And I was trying to explain to her, it's a movie about one single day.
I want it every day. Why do they keep going? I could have
watched
this forever.
She's like, what happens next? I'm like, it's, come on.
We win the war. That's yeah, come well, on. Next comes the Battle of the Bulge, and then you giggle.
Yeah. For 20 minutes.
Bulge, yeah.
So did this movie feel like 3 hours to you?
Yes.
You say yes.
I do.
Patrick?
Yeah. It's while I enjoyed it, it's very long. It's a long movie.
Yeah. Justine?
It's a great movie. It could be longer.
You really liked it that much? I'm always shocked at the movies that she ends up liking.
She liked this one more than Hell is for Heroes.
Yeah.
Okay, Justine, let's go with this. I'm feeling this vibe.
Yeah, why did you like it?
Tell us what you liked and what you didn't like.
It was a great movie.
But why? Why did you like
the
it?
The whole thing was great.
What
just
about it?
Just seeing how everything happened, how...
How it all came together.
How it all came... I mean, John Wayne, though, he could not be in the movie. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
He kind of destroyed it. Any scene he was in, I was like, God, why? And I heard, like, the guy that he plays was upset because he was so young when he was in that
Yeah,
position.
And John Wayne was much
and
older.
And he's like, John Wayne is, like, 54, and I was, like, 27. Like, the guy was upset about that.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I'm upset. This all made me mad.
I don't think this invasion's a good idea.
Like, I can't keep holding these men here.
But watching them go down and the guy got caught on top of that bell tower.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. And that was that all actually. So Cornelius Ryan wrote the book based on actual eyewitnesses. So he interviewed all these people and then put this book together and like, and he interviewed everybody from like the, you know, the generals down to the, you know, different people, the survivors and stuff. So this is all based on his, this is all based on his book.
And it was very emotional too, because especially when John Wayne sees it and he's like, take those bodies down.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be hanging like that. And you're just, oh.
It was a good scene.
Yeah. You always, you feel so awful when those guys parachute into the town
into German like behind
them. You see them,
alert.
They're going down and they're just getting shot at. Like,
yeah,
it's just so sad. Mm-hmm. Oh,
they just get beaten on the way down, or like,
or the
hit.
Guys that like, you know, the guys that are like wandering around and they just get shot as they, you know, they land and they're somebody just comes out of nowhere.
So he's looking for the two clicks. He gets the two clicks, but it's not the actual guy. It's the
It's the guy reload.
He goes down
using the
I
bolt
heard
action.
Two.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know. It's a bummer. It's a good, and it's some of these scenes you really realize, like, because now, you know, you have smaller cameras, stuff like that. It's not easy, but it's easier to make a movie like this than it was back in the day.
Especially with, like, CGI and digital.
But, like, if you see what it took to make this movie must have taken, like, no wonder it was so expensive, because, A, you have to pay all these guys. Mm-hmm. Everybody
and that
that's
was
in
a
it.
Lot of people.
And you have three directors, because you want to direct all three casts.
The
you
sets
know?
Were huge. They had huge destructible sets for a lot of the
Well, like that scene where there's that one really long helicopter shot where the French are invading that town, and there's the the Germans have the cannon like in the building.
Oh, I love that scene.
And there's like this really long tracking shot. You're like, dude, how do you coordinate that? You have all these extras running. You have to set off the pyrotechnics.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking, the same thing.
Yeah, and it's like this really crazy, like,
for that
shot.
Time,
you're like,
it was great.
A lot of this reminded me of Battlefield. I'm like, I played that map.
Yeah.
I've been there. If you run around that corner.
Call of Duty World War II.
Exactly. It's like, I know this shit.
I remember it well.
I did like the, you got to see kind of how they just lucked into some stuff, like, like the Utah Beach, like Omaha, they landed at the wrong beach and they ended up getting
slaughtered,
and Utah, they landed at the wrong beach and there was nobody there.
Yeah.
And they basically just like walked on the beach and were like, all right, let's go.
Yeah, it was tough watching it. I mean, it was just an emotional movie and I love that. It was great.
Did you have a particular... Did anyone stand out to you in the cast aside from John Wayne? Because it's such a big cast.
It's too big of a cast for me to like... I kept reading Sean Connery was in it, and I kept not seeing him until I saw a picture, like a still. I'm like, oh, that was...
I did not see him in that whole but thing.
He's the one guy that's complaining about how the Irishman is playing the pipes.
It's the two Scotsmen.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the two of them, and they're just bitching the whole time. That's all it is. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
But it's so quick. Like, so many of these people, and so quick.
He wasn't James Bond yet. He was actually working on James Bond.
He was
going
to... Yeah, he was trying to get through the movie so he can go to Jamaica.
To go to Jamaica to beat James Bond.
Yeah. But I don't know, this movie was just, it was great.
I'm glad you liked it.
I loved it.
Oh, I loved the book.
I was like, can this day be longer, please? Like,
just... Oh, it was longer for them, trust me.
I mean, the bigger shock for me was the guy from, I forgot his name again, you said it, from West Side Story.
Oh, Sal Mineo.
His whole part in that. And how he sees the Germans when they walk by, but they're all looking at the helicopter.
Oh, that's who he is. That's who he is.
And they split up like that. He gets lost.
That's right. That's right. That is Sal Mineo. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Sal, Paul Anka's the one where they're going up the ropes. That whole thing was like, that's crazy too. They get all the way up there and they're like, well, we came up here for nothing because the guns were never.
Yep.
I know that was heartbreaking. I mean, the whole thing was just. Yeah. It was such a great movie.
I'm glad.
And how much like. All the areas they went to, it was all pulled together so well.
Then you got to see like the French Resistance, like how they were, how they helped out. Yeah. And they had to like, they were helping like the pilots, like they would help the down pilots and stuff and would hide them.
I read that they had, there was a version with the subtitles and a version without it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I would not watch it
without subtitles.
But that's what a lot of people respected about the movie was that they got to speak their own language. And
yeah, that's great because you do get the German stuff is much more convincing because you're they're speaking in German and like you see how confused they are.
Yeah,
and like how lucky it was like Hitler took a sleeping pill and we can't wake him up.
Yeah,
so you know no tanks and then like. You know,
no tanks.
Yeah, and then I like the Luftwaffe pilot. That's like, all right, we're gonna strafe once, then we're done. Like,
we're going home. Yeah,
that's it. Oh, and then that pilot when he's like, they tell him to go fight, and he's like, it's just only two planes. That guy was crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why he did like the strafing run, and then he was like, okay, we're going home. Like,
yeah. And I told Patrick, I was like, how is he shooting all these people? Because so many people went down that wasn't believable to me, but.
But I mean, it's if you're firing, you're firing.
If you have a heavy machine gun firing down from a plane, you're gonna get some people
on
with
the beach. Like, oh my god, it was such a great movie.
I'm glad you liked it.
Strafing runs are very effective.
I heard that if you go to that place though, where the bell tower is, you see a statue of him hanging there.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's great. Sam Mereglise.
Yeah, I like how he couldn't hear later. He's like, I kept hearing it. He's like, all I hear is ding dong.
Yeah, yeah. Was like bells.
They kept ringing those damn bells.
We're gonna save Jake for last because Jake felt like this was the longest movie.
Let's
dip over to Patrick.
I really enjoyed this. It was a lot of fun. Now it was a little bit long for me, but overall the characters were really interesting. You got to see a bunch of people, which was really cool.
And so, did you recognize a lot of people that we had seen already?
Yeah, you've seen a lot of people I've seen before. I'm like, I know you.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of cool when I watched this, I was like, oh yeah, that we've seen him, we've seen him, we've seen him.
But we got one of the greatest scenes of John Wayne running ever.
He's running through
the empty hangar. Announce that they're officially going, you see him run and you have to watch that scene again. It is hilarious.
How tall is he?
He can't run.
It's something to do with his height that makes him run weird.
Well, I think he just had a lot of,
I don't know if it's just like football injuries or something like that, but it is embarrassing.
It is
he
horrible.
Cannot run to save his life.
Patrick's like, look at the way he's running. I'm like, I know. And I was like, I know. And Mario sticks up for it every time.
I don't stick up for him. Do not say that.
It was
I'd be like, Mario loves his running.
I'm a big fan of John Wayne's running.
But it was really interesting to see like the scale and everything like that and what they were trying to do and how some things worked out and some things didn't. And just really get like the importance and the significance of what they were trying to do and
how
much it cost.
How big the undertaking was.
Yeah, and how much it cost. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, there were just people dying left and right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's
and
crazy.
Then, like, how they don't, a lot of times somebody dies and you just keep going because you don't have,
you just got to like,
keep.
Yeah, all of them. Had to
just
keep going.
Kept going. Why aren't they picking up the ammo and the guns? I'm like, they can't. They just don't have time.
Oh yeah, that part with the wire, and he's like, "You're now a sergeant." What is it? Sergeant?
Oh yeah, is he's that what he like, "You're him? A sergeant now," because he was in charge, and then he ends
the technical
up dying
guy
2 seconds later.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but he was so good, and then someone else picks up. Oh, so dramatic! Yeah. I love this movie.
Would you watch it again?
Yes.
It always amazes me. I never know what Justine's going to like.
Well, Patrick told me when I was watching, he's like, "You're so into this."
She was like, she would not stop. Like, it's just like she was all over it.
I just kept yelling at the screen. I'm like, "Why? What?" And it was, it was a great movie. I liked it.
Jake.
Yes.
Let's talk about it, buddy.
It very much felt like a documentary.
Okay.
Through a lot of it.
And that's not your thing.
And that's not my thing.
I love documentaries.
Me too.
Some things, I don't know. I feel like the whole, like, war movies at this point, and like this, they're kind of played out. There's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. There's too much.
Oh, you just wait.
Too much for me. I know, and there's still more to come. But no, I mean, characters are decent, and, you know, it's a World War II story of the day we stormed Normandy, so.
And did anyone stand out to you?
Sean Connery's character was pretty funny. I liked that.
Mm-hmm.
I bet it. It didn't. For some of the parts, I was kind of having trouble paying attention.
What was going on?
Hmm?
What was going on?
I was having trouble paying attention. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Sandy was keeping him busy.
Mm-hmm.
No.
You just said
I said.
Wow, honest.
No.
But yeah. It was such a great movie, Jake. Yeah.
I give it a 6.
Isabella, what do you give this one?
10 out of 10.
The good job. Good job.
Hey. Best movie. Movie of the year.
Movie of the year, 1962. I do
movie
like this
of
one
the
a
year,
lot.
All the rest of the year.
This one gets a high rating for me. This one gets an 8 for me just because of what it took to make the movie. So I'm gonna give this one sucker an 8.
Oh, I agree. It's solid 8. This has got like an all-star cast. You got so many different interesting people. That it's kind of hard to keep track of everybody.
And Jake, what do you give it?
If we're talking about like production value and just like how impressive it was, like with some of the settings and like all the set pieces and stuff, then mm-hmm. Yeah, I give it like an 8. But I just overall, it's like a 6.
It's hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding. What do you got, Justine?
I give it a 9.
9?
Damn.
Dang. Well, what would you give a 10 to the other day? What would you give a 9.5 to? Oh, Guns of Navarone.
I love that movie. So that was a great
movie.
She
loves war movies.
So this is not as good as Guns of Navarone?
I didn't know I liked war movies until they were forced down my eyes.
And now you love them. Now it's like your favorite. You're like, what war movies do we have coming up?
Yeah. American Sniper you'd probably like too.
This one is just...
Enemy Behind the Line, or no, Enemy at the Gates.
I like that one too.
We have a couple coming up that are a little unusual, so I'm not sure she's going to like them, but...
How could you not like this movie? This movie was so good.
The same reason
the
you
emotions,
gave...
The death, the... Come on!
The same reason you gave Casablanca a 6 is just a matter of taste.
I would still stand by that 6.
Matter of taste.
This movie? Yes, it's still a 6.
Stand by your 6. All right, here we go. For some reason, we skipped ahead to 1963. My favorite James Bond movie, if you can believe it or not. I think it still is.
With a
96% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.5 on IMDb. It is directed by Terrence Young, starring the great Sean Connery and the great, great,
great,
great. Great. Robert Shaw.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And Lottie Lenya, who is mentioned in, what's wrong? Mac the Knife.
I forgot. So when I was watching The Longest Day, I told Patrick I wish it was in color so I can see
all the blood.
See the difference between
oh,
the
yeah.
people. So
I
asked Patrick. Patrick's
the
like,
helmets, like,
these
how
are
you
the
can
different
tell.
Helmets.
Oh, yeah.
And tell him what you described the German helmets
I can't.
As.
There's a child in
oh,
the
yeah,
room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can say it.
You can say it.
Say it.
She's probably heard it.
No, don't say it.
Say
I know
it.
What you're talking
say
about,
it.
Though.
Say it.
Say it.
I want to know.
I know exactly what you're
it
saying.
Looks
I
like,
wanna
let's
know.
Just say it looks say like it. A head. Oh, weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wink, wonk.
I laughed so hard at that. And then I cannot get that image.
You know,
that's
you're
what
right.
they look like.
It kind of does.
It is.
And they were, you know.
What? And they were.
I mean, I mean, nature develops certain, you know, things for a reason. So I mean, it's just it's a natural forming thing. So yeah,
no. Jake, shut up.
Okay, just remember that. That was funny.
Please continue.
I don't want to be the one responsible for ruining your childhood.
Music already sounds so cheesy.
I know. This is the second movie, and it's already like, oh my god, it's such a Bond movie.
I love this movie. I love this song. I love it all.
This whole movie with their theme song.
Do you love the belly dancers in the beginning?
Yes! So my wife was like, so what? Cheesy. No, Nicole was like, what? Do they do this in every movie? I'm like, yes, every movie. She's like, really? I'm like, yep, every movie pretty much has...
I'm sorry, the greatest James Bond film, he swallows a diamond from a bullet from a belly dancer's belly. So trust me, it does not go away.
Wait, it's belly dancers every time?
No.
Okay. You'll see. You'll see.
In Man with the Golden Gun, he goes to talk to a belly dancer and swallows her belly ring, which is actually a bullet from the Golden Gun.
I was telling Patrick, I'm like, can they just do the girl version of this and have some guy belly dancing and see if that's attractive?
And then you got to have the cat fight.
Come on.
I love that. Was the gypsy fight.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about, guys? Let's talk about it.
Hairy chest and arms and legs.
Now that was a hairy chest right there.
I told you, dude.
Even better.
Just want to pet it.
Even better a second time.
This is even better. Watch, because this version has the, of course, the From Russia with Love with John Barry. This is a little organ.
So cheesy.
Come on. This is great.
You gotta love it.
This is awesome. All right, what did you guys think of this one? Let's talk about it. Let's start with Jake this time. Jake, what did you think? Get a little tease in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We're not quite to fully form Bond yet because you're not watching him finish up a mission, although you think it is because he's walking through the garden.
Yeah.
And then he gets...
Murdered.
He pulls off the mask. It makes a weird noise when he pulls it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, it does. And then you find out it was all fake.
Yep.
They were trying to train.
Gets killed by Dolph Lundgren's dad.
Yeah, he kind of looks like Dolph Lundgren. He will also kill a shark later on in his, or try to kill a shark later on in his career. But this time he's going after Bond. So what did you think, Jake? Talk to me.
I thought it was great.
Did you love it?
I loved it. This is, you can kind of tell that they've sort of gotten, they have a better idea of what they want to do with Bond movies.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I thought it was great. I forget the name of the girl.
Oh,
the main girl that he's with the whole movie.
Tatiana.
Yeah.
Tatiana.
She was great. I thought that German assassin,
Rosa Klebb,
the German assassin guy.
Oh, Red Grant, yeah. Played by Robert Shaw.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of like a double, or he was like a secret agent.
Yeah,
like
and definitely agent. One of the most threatening Bond villains, because mm-hmm. he can actually, like, he murders people. First of all, he's like a psycho. What did they say?
Psychopath.
He's a psychopath. And then second of all, he is, you know, tough physically.
When he gets punched, he just doesn't flinch.
She punches him with the...
She's like, okay.
I love that scene where they go through, like, the Spectre Island, and it's all the training, and he's the guy's doing karate.
So
cheap.
And
oh,
like,
she's
walking throw. By, I'm like, this is the stupidest.
Oh, yeah, and they're using flamethrowers.
She punches him once and goes, okay, he's good, I'll take him.
She had a lethal punch.
One-inch punch.
I love this movie because his sidekick... "Quote unquote sidekick," his Turkish, the guy that's head of the station in Turkey, Kerim Bey.
Kerim Bey.
Oh God, he's
Kerim Bey.
How he was treating like the girl that he was with is so bad.
I'm surprised they were all
into
it.
So funny. Get away from me, woman.
Kerim Bey.
I'm busy, woman.
Trying to work.
Kerim Bey was actually played by a really famous Mexican actor, Pedro Almodóvar, and he committed suicide after the movie. He had cancer. Wow. He had cancer and committed suicide like right after they finished.
Way to ruin the moment.
Yeah, thanks. We're depressed now.
But I love, he's great in that movie.
He was really good.
He's such a good, you always love when Bond gets like a buddy like that to kind of pal around with and like bounce stuff off of. You
Man
know?
With the golden gun, you get the Texan.
Yeah.
He's just like the American dude. Just like, what the hell is he doing here?
I love it.
So good.
So did you, where do you rate this like the against the modern Bonds, Jake? And did you have like a favorite scene or sequence?
Oh, Jesus. I think that whole sequence through the train.
Yeah.
Was the, really, the really fight good. Scene? The whole fight scene in there.
Because that looks real. It looks like they're really beating the
real.
Crap out of each
yeah.
other.
And it really shows Bond and how, like, what's the word? He's like, how quick he thinks on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And just how him outsmarting that guy was really good. And then, yeah, that's the one that really stuck out to me. Was that one. And then there's like that whole back and forth thing with her. And then there's, oh God, I saw it 2 weeks ago, so it's a little fuzzy right now.
We took a week off. I apologize.
That's usually why I like to watch it like a few days before, so it's fresh. But yeah, that was the major part that stuck out to me. And then the new Bonds kind of take a more serious approach. I kind of like this a little bit more lighthearted.
Yeah, it's serious, but at the same time, it's very
not.
It's very tongue in it's very tongue in cheek.
Mm-hmm.
What else you got? No, I'm sorry, not what else you got. What do you got, Patrick?
I love James Bond movies, so this was a lot of fun for me. The characters, like Cameron Bay, was really cool. The villains were interesting, and then what's his face, the main villain. He was kind of a surprise because he's like the first time like he actually kills a lot of people off. You don't see that typically in a lot mm-hmm. of Bond movies, and so he was surprised. It was a real threat. And it was just kind of cool to see like background into Spectre and stuff like that.
You kind of see the origins
yeah,
of Spectre.
Yeah, it felt like a really, really good spy movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun.
And did you have anything that stuck out? Any favorite moments?
Oh, mine is the last scene with Bond and the little Russian woman.
Rosa Klebb.
Where she clicks her boots. Mm-hmm. And like she's trying to kick him and she's just holding him in place. It's hilarious.
Hilarious.
So good.
Justine?
This made me realize where Austin Powers took everything from.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because as soon as I watched, I'm like, oh my God, she's the little lady that's like next to him all the time. That's like it. The way she's acting.
Number three.
When she yells, and then I love when he does like the numbers and he has like his number two in the movie. Like, it just all came together for me with this film. It felt like this is why everything's like that. But it was good.
I forgot, we talked about this before, but what is your favorite Bond movie?
Austin Powers.
Okay, what is your favorite actual Bond movie?
This is the second Bond movie I've seen.
She hasn't seen very many.
And did you like this better than Dr. No?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot better than the first one.
Yeah, it really feels like a big leap.
But this one's also the most cheesiest. Or I don't know. This is the only second one I've seen. They just got extra cheesy.
They're really, and I feel like, yeah, they really understood, like, you know what? James Bond's not all about being super serious. Sometimes you gotta.
Well, this is where we get to see, like, Q for the first time really shine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was the music, too, playing in the back. I'm like, this is just so.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you gotta remember.
That was a little excessive.
You gotta remember, though, at this time, this is like. This is the era of jet setting.
Music was first invented.
And, well, no, it was the era of jet setting. So anytime you see, like, they show, like, these panoramas of, like, Istanbul and stuff. So you have, like, the music playing, and there's, like, these lush strings, and there's, like. But I will tell you, one of my favorite things, and this will come up in a lot of Bond movies from now on. They use it during the gypsy camp scene, which after they have the gunfight. After the cat fight, the Bulgarians break into the gypsy camp and start killing everybody, and Bond's just kind of like walking around like karate chopping people and like very nonchalantly.
Judo chop.
Yeah, they have a little music playing. It goes like this. It's called 007. And so he's running around like karate chopping. And so you see that in They'll redo this theme a lot in the Bond movies. You'll hear it over and over. There you go. That's called 007.
Makes sense.
But it also reminds me of The Incredibles.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, yeah. When you watch The Incredibles, you're like, oh, it's like a Bond movie, but they're superheroes.
But they're superheroes, yeah.
So it's a little different. But
Elastigirl.
The other thing I liked was, did he drive any certain car in this movie?
Not yet. Not yet. In the next one, he gets his car.
He gets the Aston Martin.
He gets the Aston Martin.
Because I know that that's a big deal.
Oh, that car is
beautiful.
But
I didn't see him in anything cool in this one. But the other part that was just hilarious to me was when he was talking to the girl and she was like, let's do like, will you love me and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, I'll love you forever. And I'm like, tell me more. Like, they're all and then those guys are all listening. It's so funny.
This is also an era of Bond where he'll smack a woman.
Yeah.
You're like, whoa, boo. but yeah, I mean, I guess he thought she was a spy and was going to kill him. So maybe.
I mean, he wasn't wrong at first.
Yeah, but she fell in love. That's the always thing about the Bond. It's always hilarious. She's like, I love you, James. They always get to that point where they're like, I wanted to kill you, but now I love you, James. So, I do love this movie just because it's Bond before the gadgets. I mean, he has the little suitcase, but he really has to rely on his wit and his, like, you know, to get him out of certain situations. And he really has a lot of help in this one, too. I like that. There's like a spy network helping him out. It's not just him.
I liked how he tricked him into wanting that guy to open the suitcase, though. I was like, oh, no, you're going to open it. Like, you won't be able to use your trick. And
Yeah.
He starts to go. He's like, no, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Like,
Oh, yeah. He kind of.
Gotcha.
He turns it around on him. And he's like,
clever.
Clever, Bond.
I like
clever.
That.
Yeah.
Pretty sneaky, sis. Well,
is there anything you. And what does he say? He's like, I'd like a cigarette. I'll pay you for it.
$20 gold sovereign.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. 20 gold sovereigns. Was it gold sovereigns? Is that what he says?
Yeah, they're gold sovereigns. 50 gold sovereigns.
No.
20 gold sovereigns.
He knew the guy was greedy. He knew the guy was greedy, guys.
He's in it for the money.
yeah, I do love this James Bond movie. I give it a 9. I give From Russia with Love a 9.
Oh, so good.
I love it.
So good.
Probably my favorite Bond.
I give it a solid 8.
The best. All
right.
It's not my favorite Bond, but it was definitely enjoyable.
It's got to be your top 5, right?
Yeah, I'd say it's up there.
This and Honor Majesty's Secret Service are probably... They're probably like neck and neck. Justine, what do you give it?
I give it a 7.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
What scene stood out for you? What
impressive for Justine.
Yeah, I know.
It was entertaining.
Did you like how the helicopter scene reminded you of the scene you didn't see in North by Northwest? Did you like that?
No.
Where the helicopter's chasing him and he's kind of... He shoots it down with a sniper. I love that.
That was a good scene.
Yeah,
it was so cheesy, the whole thing. I like the...
That's the point.
Entertainment of this. And I think the other thing that made it
it's a good
more
popcorn
special
movie.
To me was how it brought out all the things in Austin Powers to me. I'm like, oh. And like that connection I made there made me like...
When you get
movie.
To Goldfinger, it will be complete. Like, it will... the whole parody will be complete for you. Because that's really what they're... Their parodying is like these 60s Bond movies. So Goldfinger, it's kind of like it kind of fully forms, you know. If you look at him as a trilogy, the first three movies are like a self-contained trilogy. Like there at the, it's like, it's fully formed. It's like everything that's been leading up to Goldfinger, which I don't like as much. I just watched it again because I'm skipping ahead to the next one. But it's, I don't like it as much, but I do like it. I do like Goldfinger a lot. But I like From Russia with Love better because he doesn't have the gadgets and he doesn't.
Is it next?
It's next. We're actually going to.
Goldfinger.
They're really close together because we're going to actually skip ahead to the mid 60s. We don't have a lot of stuff from the early 60s. So there's actually a hole in the. That I can't figure out what's missing. But. So for the next... Oh, I'm sorry. I said an 8. What do you give it, Patrick?
I give it an 8 as well. And you said you gave it a 9.
I'm sorry. I give it a 9. I give it a 9.
I also give it an 8.
I give it an 8.
8.5. I liked it.
8.5.
8.5, yeah.
I give it a 7.
You give it a 7?
7.
I like how bad that guy was at the end at controlling the boats. Like,
oh, yeah.
You, no. You stay here. You go here. Green,
Spectre
go.
6.
Yeah, Spectre 5. And
or
then
Spectre Red or
they
Spectre
blow
Green.
Up.
It's like, really? Dude, can't...
Nowhere to
there
hide.
There is. Yeah, you're an employee, right?
You're welcome.
Yes, I work here.
You now work here.
You're gainfully employed at 13.
Here we go. So, for the next time, I know for sure.
For the next time.
Let me write these down.
For next time, I will add one next week, but for now, we will surely be watching The Great Escape.
Ooh.
Another war movie, which I think I'm going to wager that Justine is going to like this.
Don't you say that and she's going to hate it.
Here's some reasons why.
What's after The Great
Escape? Two guys from Hell is for Heroes in there. You got James Coburn. You've got Steve McQueen in there. It's a great cast. And it's a true story. It's a true story.
One more time on that name.
The Great Escape.
The Great Escape.
What's after that?
And that Goldfinger.
Ooh.
Goldfinger.
They took all the Bond films off of Netflix. Right? Yeah, they're gone. They're not on.
Should have watched them anymore. And I think the third one coming up is Fantastic Voyage, but put an asterisk next to that, just till I make sure.
Voyage.
The Fantastic Voyage, because we might have to watch two.
That, what else would it be?
There might be two Bond movies. If it's not that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
If it's not that, it's going to be Thunderball.
Ooh.
I don't see why it kept going, though. Ooh. That's just a guy thing, I think.
What kept going?
Bond movies?
Because it made money.
Oh, dude, if you watch the documentaries on the DVDs, like, you see what a sensation it became, like, lines around the block. It was crazy. So it was just it was a phenomenon. It was the first series like that to take off in a huge, huge way. So
you don't own The Sword and the Stone, I'm guessing?
No. We're skipping the Disney movies, remember?
Oh, are we? Oh, I don't
know. Yeah, Patrick doesn't want to watch.
Oh, because you can't see
it. Well, I mean, they're hard to watch unless you own them and you've seen all of them.
That's true. But that's true for James Bond as well.
You've seen one, you've seen them all.
Justine hasn't seen any of the James Bond movies. And I've seen most of them, but I haven't seen all of them. And Jake doesn't get out.
Huh?
Yeah.
What? I have watched every single movie so far, except for the first week.
What? I don't.
I didn't watch the couple of the Alfred Hitchcocks.
What?
Good. Yeah.
Rear Window?
No.
Oh, I love that movie.
That's my favorite.
I didn't watch Alfred Rear Hitchcock Window movie. Or Them.
What? You watch Them, the giant ants?
Nope.
Oh, you son of a gun.
I watched everything else, though.
I could pass on that.
And also every new movie that came out. All
right. Okay. Well, watch
I'm
Goldfinger.
I'm doing good.
Watch Goldfinger for sure. And watch Goldfinger and watch The Great Escape, because I know those are up next. And I will get back to you next week with the third movie. All right?
Okay. All right.
So we're going to say our goodbyes. Do we have anything to add before we go?
So long.
Fight the power.
Fight the power. So for Patrick.
Bye.
Oh.
Yes.
Westworld was amazing, guys.
Are you still loving it?
Yeah. Oh my God, that season finale.
Everyone's having problems
How
talking
far?
Today.
Oh, the season, it was the finale?
It was the finale. How far are you guys?
I was
episode
at the
one.
I'm at the scene where they just parted ways with the geisha.
Ooh.
Oh my God, you're so far away.
I know.
Because of the season finale, I have to rewatch the whole season again.
Ugh.
It's so good. All
right. I'm going to have to watch it.
The butler did it, guys.
I'm going to have more time starting next week, so I will sit down and crank it up. So, guys, thank you for joining us on our Digital Movie Club. Once again, you can follow us on Twitter at Soup Complex, S-O-U-P Complex. Shout out to the Castaways, of course, your favorite podcasts are all there under hashtag castaways. You can follow Dan, Handsome Dan Handsome, on Twitter, on the Twitch, on something.
Twitch.tv/HandsomeDanHandsome or on Twitter at HandsomeDan93.
You can find him on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at PDMac779.
Justine?
You can find me on Instagram at Justine Weenie.
Don't sound so excited about it.
I guess.
So for Patrick, for Jake, for Justine, and for DJ Sadness.
Our special guest.
You want to give him a little goodbye there, DJ Sadness?
How about some words of advice and wisdom?
Get out.
That's one of my favorite movies of last year. We're going to have Matt Monroe sing us out with a little ditty we like to call From Russia With Love. This one goes out, of course, to 45. Fight the power. Transmission ends now.
From Russia with love, I fly to you, much wiser since my goodbye to you. I've traveled the world to learn I must return from Russia with love.